Welcome to D&B College. Today we're building an old-school jungle DNBLR blueprint in Ableton Live 12, and then turning it into a macro-controlled performance instrument. The goal is not just to make a busy ARP. The goal is to make something that feels like classic jungle DNA, but still works cleanly in a modern drop. Think of this as a mid-bass hook, a tension layer, or an answer phrase sitting over the break and the sub. It should add identity without stealing the low end. And that's the big win here. Macros let you shape the sound across their arrangement without rebuilding the whole patch every time. You can move it from tight and restrained to open, gritty, and urgent in a few controls. Let's start simple. Create a MIDI track and load a stock synth like Wavitable, Analog, or Operator. If you want an immediate old-school edge, Analog is a great choice. If you want more flexibility, Wavitable gives you a bit more range. Keep the source material small. That matters. Use a minor triad, a suspended shape, or even just two notes. In jungle and DNB, the ARP works best when the source is short and readable, not when it's trying to be a full harmony lesson. Put down a 1 or 2 bar MIDI clip with maybe 3 or 4 notes max. Root, minor third, fifth, octave. That's enough. If you want it darker, narrow the note pool even more. A minor third and a fifth can sound more threatening than a lush stacked chord. Why this works in DNB is simple. The drums already bring the density. The arc needs to be rhythmic and memorable, not harmonically crowded. Now add Ableton's arpeggiator before the synth. Start with a rate of 1/16, gate around 35 to 55%, and a pattern like up, down, or converge. Keep the octave range to 1 or 2 octaves at most. Don't go wild straight away. The classic mistake is making the arp sound like a trance run. We want jungle movement. We want something that fights the groove in the right way. Place the notes so the arp interacts with the drums. A classic move is to let it avoid the exact kick transient and answer the snare instead. If your snare is sitting on 2 and 4, try leaving a pocket just before the snare so the arp pulls into the hit rather than cluttering it. If the pattern feels too straight, shorten some notes so it breathes a little. Old school jungle often feels like it's spilling forward, but still clipped by the grid. What to listen for here? The arp should feel like forward motion, not a keyboard exercise. If it sounds like busy demo material, the rhythm is wrong. You want urgency, but you want control. Next, shape the synth itself so the arp already has character before effects. A simple setup goes a long way. Use a saw or saw plus a quieter square. Keep the detune slight. Set the filter cutoff somewhere sensible for your tone, maybe in the 200 Hz to 2 kHz zone depending on how bright you want the core. Give the filter envelope a short decay, somewhere around 80 to 250 milliseconds. Keep the amp envelope quick on the attack, medium short on the decay, and let the sustain sit where the rhythm feels right. With Wavitable, choose a clean saw bass table and keep movement minimal. With Analog, a lightly detuned oscillator pair can give you that immediate ravey old-school feel. The trick is to let the filter and envelope do the movement, not to overcomplicate the sound. Jungle arps often work because the note shape is doing part of the talking. If you want it tighter and more percussive, shorten the amp decay and lower the sustain. If you want something more liquid and haunting, let the decay breathe a little more and open the filter movement up. Choose based on what the drums are already doing. If the break is super active, go tighter. If the drums are sparse, the arp can afford to be a little more expressive. Now build a processing chain after the synth that feels like a record, not a preset. A strong starting point is auto filter, saturator, EQ8, utility, and maybe a touch of glue compressor if needed. You can absolutely keep it stock and still get a serious result. Start with auto filter. Use it as a shaping tool, not just a sweep effect. Low pass or band pass can both work. Saturator comes next, with maybe 2 to 6 dB of drive and soft clip on if necessary. Then use EQ8 to clean up the muddy area around 200 to 500 Hz if it starts masking the snare body. If it gets too sharp, ease off around 2.5 to 4.5 kHz. Utility helps you keep the center disciplined, especially if you decide to widen the upper part of the sound later. Glue compressor, if used, should be very subtle, just enough to tidy things up. You can also go dirtier if you want more old-school sampler character. Auto filter, saturator, maybe a touch of redux, then EQ8 and utility. That can be amazing for darker jungle, but be careful. Too much redux and the sound turns into digital dust. The point is attitude, not destruction. What to listen for? The harmonics should help the arp cut through the breaks and sub without needing to be loud. If it only sounds good because it's bright and loud, It will collapse once the full drum arrangement comes in. Now comes the part that really makes this useful. Putting the whole thing into an instrument rack and mapping key movement controls to macros. This is where the ARP becomes a performance instrument. Good macro candidates are tone, edge, motion, width, air, and roughness. For example, macro 1 can control filter cutoff. Macro 2 can control saturation drive. Macro 3 can control ARP gate. Macro 4 can handle octave range or a lift in the high end. Macro 5 can control width with utility. Macro 6 can push air, maybe with a high shelf or resonance. Macro 7 can add roughness with redux or extra drive. Macro 8 can be overall presence or output trim. Keep the ranges sensible. Don't make width swing from narrow to absurdly huge. A controlled move from something like 100% to maybe 130 or 150% is often plenty. And name the macros properly right away. Tone, edge, motion, lift, width. That stuff matters. In a real session, a good name gets you to the decision faster. Now loop the ARP with a break and sub in place. This is the truth test. So many good ideas die right here, because they were built in isolation. First, mute the sub and hear the ARP against the break. Then bring the sub back in. The ARP should occupy a clear lane. It should either live in the upper mid hook space or sit more rhythmic and lower, but it should not fight the kick fundamental or the snare crack. If the break is heavily chopped, let the ARP answer around the gaps. If the break is sparse, the ARP can be more constant. That's one of the classic jungle moves. The ARP becomes part of the syncopation grid, almost like another chopped percussion layer, but with pitch. What to listen for here? Can you still hear the snare clearly? Good. Does the ARP blur the kick or step on the snare body? Not good. If that happens, shorten the gate, cut some low mids, or shift the note shape. If it's masking the hatching, tame the upper high band a little instead of making the whole sound dull. Now use automation with intention. Don't automate everything every bar. Old school jungle needs motion, but it also needs punctuation. A really effective phrasing move is this. Start narrow and filtered for 4 bars, open it up over the next 4, add a bit more drive or octave lift in the next phrase, then strip it back down before the next section. That keeps the idea alive without making it feel like a test patch. Great automation targets are filter cutoff, ARP gate, width, saturation, and a small octave lift at the end of a phrase. You can also use resonance carefully if it adds personality. If you automate too many core controls at once, the parts stop sounding like a hook and start sounding like a demo of what the rack can do. Keep it deliberate. Let one or two moves make the statement, and use the others more subtly. At this point, decide whether the ARP stays MIDI or gets committed to audio. If it's already working in the full drum and sub context, don't keep tweaking, because the loop feels possible. If it gives the track identity, print it. Commit to audio if you want a more sample-like old-school feel, easier editing for fills and reverses, and the ability to resample phrases into a second variation. Once it's audio, you can slice it, reverse the last hit, or make a call-and-response version where one bar is original and the next bar is chopped fragments. That works beautifully in jungle because it gives variation without losing the core motif. If you keep it MIDI, you gain real-time macro movement and easy transposition. Both are valid. Choose based on whether you want performance control or sampled identity. Honestly, a lot of the best DNB sessions use both across different versions. Now think about arrangement. A strong ARP doesn't just sit there. It enters with a job. In an intro or breakdown, let it tease the motif filtered and restrained. In the first drop, keep it concise and rhythmic. In the mid-drop variation, open the filter or lift the octave for a few bars. In the second drop, resample it or dirty it up so it feels like an evolution, not a repeat. Here's a simple phrasing idea. For the first 4 bars of the drop, keep it narrow and low-pass filtered, answering the snare. In the next 4, open the filter and maybe add a little octave lift near the end. Then reduce note density or trim some top end so the drums can switch or breathe. Finally, bring back the aggressive version for the payoff. That's how the ARP becomes an arrangement event instead of wallpaper. A good old-school ARP in DNB usually dies for one of two reasons. It's either too polite, or it's too busy. The sweet spot is attitude with air. Ask yourself one simple question while checking it in context. Does it add identity, or just activity? That question will save you loads of time. Here are a few extra moves that really help. Keep the center clean. If the ARP gets too wide too early, the mix can lose its punch. In heavier DNB, a strong center usually feels bigger than a huge stereo cloud. If the sound needs grime, print a clean version and a dirty version. The clean one can carry the drop, and the dirty one can come in for fills or second drop punishment. Also, let the sub and ARP do different jobs emotionally. The sub carries physical weight. The ARP carries motion and attitude. If the ARP tries to become the base foundation, the mix gets smaller, not bigger. Another very useful habit is to save versions of the rack. A clean restrained version, an open drop ready version, and a dirtier second drop version. That gives you three usable choices fast, which is often more valuable than endlessly polishing one patch. In real DNB sessions, speed and clarity matter. Let's talk about the practice exercise, because this is where the lesson becomes real. Build one 8-bar jungle ARP using only stock Ableton devices. Keep the source to 4 notes or fewer. Use at least 4 macros. Make one version tight and filtered, and one version more open and aggressive. Keep the low end out of the sub range. Then test it against a break and sub loop.